This is your radio novel. Hello and a cordial welcome to another radio novel. Our story is adapted from the motion picture Rio Grande. It concerns a young couple who found that the Rio Grande was not just a river and a territory in Texas. It was a frame of mind. By tradition, much of the New York area has never favored war. Not in 1776, nor in 1812. And much less had it stood for the Civil War. But now that war was over. At least the fighting was. And what was left of the flower of American manhood had to adjust itself to a bitter peace. The ragged armies were disbanding. Discipline was dead. Many former soldiers grouped themselves together into bands of desperados. Others tried to pick up what was left of their former patterns of life. And there were those who knew they could survive only by going somewhere else. In New York City, in a small, shabby hotel room, young Bruce Lanning planned to travel with his wife to what was then the Far West. Jane, a city-bred girl, stared through the window. It was raining outside, raining and chilly.
At least it'll be warm down there.
Warm, at least, yeah.
If we ever get there.
I've told you, you don't have to go with me.
I know. But I have no choice.
We can go to Boston.
I despise Boston.
You have relatives there.
I despise my relatives. No, I'll go with you, Bruce. I'll try to endure what has to be endured.
Even me?
That was a silly thing to say.
Jane, you don't love me.
I don't know.
I do.
Do you love me? Of course not.
The curious thing is, I believe deep down I do.
No, Bruce. A woman knows when a man loves her. And I know you don't love me. You did once, but not now.
What's the difference?
Well, I suppose if we did love each other, it would make things more pleasant.
The word pleasant was one of the casualties of the war, Jane. It died, like everything else we used to love.
Oh, I dread that sea journey.
It should be nice enough after we get below the Carolinas.
I've no idea what to expect.
2 weeks or more of rough weather until we're past Cape Hatteras. After that, either good weather or more bad weather.
But 2 long months on that ship.
Well, we'll put in at the different places. You'll see Florida, the Bahamas, then the Gulf of Mexico.
And you still think the sea route is the best way?
Safest way.
And the quickest?
Well, it would take us all of 2 months to get to Corpus Christi, land or sea.
But then we still have to go overland.
A couple hundred miles. We'll go by stage.
Oh, this rain.
Away from the window, then.
No.
Oh, look, Jane, please don't.
I'm just so miserable.
I know.
I wish I were dead.
After that war, there isn't room for any more dead.
I feel so lonely.
Sure, I know.
Oh, put your arms around me. Put your arms around me, even if you don't love me.
What's happened to us, Jane? Got some color in your face.
Should be blue or green.
Hasn't been so bad, has it?
If you can forget the first 2 weeks out of New York.
Look, the skies are blue, even if the sea's rough.
I thought I saw land over there once this morning.
Florida coast or South Carolina, one of the two.
You're smiling.
We're on our way. The worst is over. I'm looking forward to the future.
Is there one, Bruce?
Oh, we've a lot to learn, but we'll learn.
At least we both know how to ride horses.
Oh, you'll have plenty of practice where we're going. A lot of country out there, Jane.
Oh, it frightens you. All that desert.
That's not desert, but we'll see some soon.
Is this what they call a stagecoach in this part of the country?
Not quite like the ones on the Boston Post Road.
No, not quite.
Don't go in there, boy, Richard. Get up, here. Ain't no crap for going to sleep on a street man. Get up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Good heavens, we'll overturn in a minute.
It can happen.
Get up. Come on.
Why are we going so fast? Bruce?
Jane, I think we've saw something just now.
Saw what?
Either bandits or Indians.
Indians?
I'm not sure. Let me open my gun case. It's behind you.
Bruce, what do you mean, Indians?
There's not necessarily any danger unless they have guns. If not, a few shots will drive them off.
Well, what'll they do?
Man riding shotgun. We'll see what happens now. Only just a small scouting party. I don't see them following.
Bruce, what kind of country is this?
What kind of a country was it around the Rio Grande? The Indians were not the worst menace. Jane was to find that out the hard way. And what kind of a life was there in store for her? This girl who doubted her own love for her husband. This girl who had grown up in New York and Boston. How could she survive the merciless rigors of the Southwest? In the years that followed the Civil War, that vast area of the Southwest, the state of Texas and the territories of Arizona and New Mexico, was all but unprotected. There were just not enough soldiers to guard the settlers. As a result, the country was overrun not only by savage Indians, but by both Mexican and American outlaws. And if the situation was not bad enough, corruption and disregard for the law and rights of others was the general rule in and around the settlements. Bruce Lanning and his wife Jane took possession of the land Bruce had bought. And during the next few months, Bruce bought a small herd of cattle.
Not too bad for a farm boy from New York State.
You're enjoying it, aren't you?
I'm beginning to. Beginning to like this country out here, the bigness.
Oh, it's big, all right. Only I keep wondering, what would we do if the Indians ever came this way?
We'd fight, the way people have always fought.
You always sound so noble, Bruce. Hey, someone's coming.
Our neighbor.
Elwood?
Yeah, looks like him.
Well, we don't often have visitors.
I suppose we'd better offer him some coffee.
There's some made.
Howdy, Mr. Lanning. Mrs. Lanning.
Morning, Elwood.
Good morning.
You got some nice cattle.
Oh, they're good stock. Jersey.
Pretty well settled here, huh?
It'll take a little while yet. House is not quite finished. I have a couple of Hopi Indians help me out.
Mr. Lanning, I guess folks ought to be neighborly out here.
Well, they should be.
Well, you see, I've got a big herd of cattle over on my place.
I know you have.
I have to make sure they get enough water.
Don't they get enough?
They did, until you came along with your cattle.
Oh?
Mr. Lanning, it's going to be rough on you, but I'll have to ask you to keep your cattle away from that water hole.
I have water rights, Elwood.
Got anything to prove it?
Your brother said...
My brother?
Well, he's the one who sold me this land.
He sold you some cattle, too.
That's right. He said I had water rights.
Did he put it in writing?
Figured his word was good enough.
My brother Jerry's word?
So that's it.
Fact is, Mr. Lanning, you have no water rights.
Do I have to pay you for the rights?
Pay? No, Mr. Lanning. You just keep your cattle away from my water. That's all.
You know well enough I've got to use that water.
Not my water.
Or my cattle will die.
I'd say you have a problem on your hands, wouldn't you?
I'd say so.
You had no business buying land and cattle unless you knew for sure you had water rights.
Oh, what, I think you and your brother are crooks.
What?
You want me to repeat it?
Bruce.
It's all right, ma'am. I don't blame your husband getting a little hot under the collar.
How would you tell your brother I'm dropping in to see him?
He figured you might want to. He's in town.
I'll see him there.
You don't aim to change my brother's deal, will you?
What I aim to do, I'll figure out when I see him.
I got a proposition for you, Mr. Lanning.
Oh?
You bought this land at a fair price. You bought your cattle at a fair price. But you're going to lose your cattle unless they get water. And you're not getting water.
We'll see.
I'll buy your land. I'll buy your cattle at half the price you paid for them.
So that's it. You and your brother...
Think it over, Mr. Lanning.
Elwood, my wife here thought the Apaches were the only things we had to worry about out this way.
We have trouble with them sometimes.
We didn't count on coyotes like you and your
brother. I wouldn't say things like that.
Anything I say, I'll back up, mister.
Soldier boy, weren't you?
I was one, yeah.
Mighty handy with a gun.
I can use one.
I kind of thought so. I'll be on my way, then.
Just one thing.
Yeah?
Come sundown, I'll be driving my cattle to that waterhole.
Soldier boy, if you do that, you'll be trespassing. And my boys have got orders to shoot anybody who trespasses.
You tell your boys I'll be there.
Mrs. Lanning, you better talk to your husband. He's likely to get himself into real trouble. And you wouldn't want to be a widow this time tomorrow. Come on!
Well, Bruce?
Well, what?
I don't want you to get into a fight with those men.
I'm already in one.
Not unless you go against them.
Jane, you'd like to see me knuckle down to them, wouldn't you?
I don't want to be a widow.
In this country, you're apt to become one almost any time. Maybe it'll be better if it happens now, while you're still young enough to find somebody else.
Is that all it means to you?
Oh, what's the difference, Jane?
You came through a war. You're alive. Must you throw your life away now?
Well, I'm going to ride into town, Jane.
No.
I'm going to settle with this Elwood crowd.
You're mad.
Yeah.
Please, Bruce, don't go.
You know I've got to go, Jane.
Bruce, all right, we'll lose a lot of money, but go somewhere. Somewhere civilized.
Right now, I'm going to do a little civilizing myself.
Bruce, listen to me.
What is it, Jane?
Doesn't it occur to you that you may be killed?
I've thought of that.
And you don't care? All right. What about me?
There's enough cash to take you back east.
I see. Oh, Bruce, what kind of a man are you that you can simply walk out of your home like this, indifferent to your wife, knowing you may be killed?
I can't respect the woman who wants me to be a coward. I'll go now, Jane.
All right.
Jane had traveled out west with Bruce. She had made her choice, and now the chips were down. Bruce was a fighter, and Jane was afraid. It's hard to decide which of them was right. Certainly, Bruce should have gotten the matter of his water rights settled in black and white before signing any papers and before handing over any purchase price. It's a stark beginning for our story as we end this chapter of Rio Grande, another radio novel.
Now, just listen a minute, if you will. I've got a little story to tell you. Well, it's not such a little story. It's sort of a tall tale. Ever hear tell of Wind Wagon Smith? Well, according to legend, we practically owe our whole system of modern transportation to old Wind Wagon. Yes, sir. Before his days, folks traveled afoot, on horseback or by ox team. But Wind Wagon, he wasn't about to put up with that slow type of traveling. No, siree. For him, 15 miles a day seemed like standing still. So he came up with a contraption that he called a prairie clipper. The clipper was a wagon without any kind of animals to pull it. It had a sail sticking up from the middle of it, just like a ship at sea. That clipper moved along pretty good, too. When the wind was right, old Wind Wagon figured he could make around 70 miles in one day. First, folks all laughed at him, but when he pointed out how the country was spreading out and how big cities would be springing up right and left and how people would need transportation for themselves and their goods, they began to figure that the clipper might be a pretty good idea at that. Well, to kind of kick off the clipper to a good start, Wind Wagon invited the United States Secretary of War and the Secretary of the Navy to go along on the maiden voyage. But disaster struck. The clipper got out of control. The Secretary of War rolled out of the clipper, and the Secretary of the Navy bounced into a cactus patch. But Wind Wagon and the clipper kept it going till they were plumb lost over the horizon. No one ever saw the clipper again. But as transportation grew in America, people all over the country told of seeing Wind Wagon Smith. They say he was in the pilot house of the first steamboat to sail up the Yellowstone. He held the Golden Spike when the first transcontinental railroad was completed. And when the first transcontinental plane roared off the runway, it was Wind Wagon Smith, the spirit of American transportation, who waved the pilot on his way. Yes, sir. He really got around, old Wind Wagon did. Say, isn't it nice being citizens of a country where you can laugh and talk about things free as a breeze, and write and read and worship too? Yes, sir. Maybe you don't think about it much, but you should.
And now back to our radio novel adapted from the motion picture Rio Grande. The Rio Grande takes in a lot of territory. In 1867, the law was still trying to get a foothold in the Southwest. Resident judges were few. The government had established the circuit judge system, but visits from these traveling judges were few and far between, although the mere existence of the system did in some measure curb crime, or at least stimulate some respect for law. Bruce Lanning, ex-soldier, might have taken his case to a circuit judge. Instead, he walked into the town saloon where he intended to settle the matter himself.
I'll stand pat.
Oh, I reckon I'll take one card.
Deal me two cards.
The game can wait, gentlemen.
Who's this?
Oh, a fellow by the name of Lanning. Him and his wife have set up in the cattle business. Jerry here sold him some land. Funny thing is, they got no water rights.
That's so? I'm out.
Worst hand I've seen this week. I said the game can wait. Doggone, I know this fella. I sold him some of my land.
He thinks he's entitled to water rights, Jerry.
You don't say.
Stranger?
Yeah?
They call me Smiley on account of my sunny disposition. I'd sure hate to get in any violence. Do you aim to get violent?
My business is with these two coyotes. Don't anyone move.
Ain't nobody moving, son.
He killed my brother. He killed my brother, Jerry.
Your brother drew first.
You're a liar.
You'll be next if you care to repeat that.
You all saw what happened, didn't you? You all saw this fella shoot before my brother had a chance to draw? Sure you did. You all did.
Don't move. None of you move.
You killed my brother, Mr. Lanning.
I'm leaving. If anybody shows his face through that door, he won't have a face left.
After him.
Hold it. That boy knows how to handle a gun.
You all saw what happened. My brother was killed before he could draw. That fellow shot him down in cold blood. That means he's got to hang.
Killed him. You killed him.
It was a fair fight, Jane.
Fair fight? What are you talking about? You kill a man and then talk as though it were some game of sport? As though it's perfectly all right to kill someone just so long as it conforms to a set of rules?
He drew a gun on me, Jane. I just happened to be faster. That's why I'm alive.
I see.
Well, don't look at me as if...
As if you were a man who had just killed another one. Well, you are.
I've killed a good many men. Men I had no grudge against. I was paid to kill them, and I hated doing it. Was that all right with you? Of course it was, because it was called war.
Bruce, you went into that saloon to settle things with Jerry Elwood. And you did settle things. You killed him.
I meant to settle in some other way. I was going to give him a taste of my fists.
Oh, you're going to do fine in this country, Bruce. You're going to be just like the rest of them out here. With only one answer to anything. Kill.
Maybe it's that kind of country, Jane. Kill or be killed.
Someone's coming. More trouble, I suppose. Bruce, I can't stand this. I just can't stand it.
It's a fellow who was there. He calls himself Smiley.
Are you going to kill him, too?
I wouldn't know, Jane. I have no idea. Depends. If he wants trouble, I reckon I could supply him with some.
You reckon? You'd begin to sound like some of them.
Who? Yeah, howdy, son. Howdy, little gal.
What do you want, mister?
You sure ain't sociable, son.
You're one of the Elwood gang. That's enough for me.
I ain't one of nobody's gang, son. I just blew into town last night. I was just having a little game of poker when you drift in that saloon.
This is my wife, Jane.
Oh, ma'am, it's a fair set of Sundays since I seen anybody so peculiar pretty. Ugh, you sure is pretty.
I don't feel very pretty.
Come all the way from back east, they tell me.
I wish I were still there.
Why, ma'am, just look at this country here. Look at all them pretty colors out there. Them hills and that sky. Well, there ain't nothing so pretty anywhere else in the world, I reckon.
It's not the country. It's the kind of people in it.
Yeah, you're in it, ma'am. You're real nice. Same goes for this young fella here. Boy, where'd you learn to draw like that?
In the army.
Not like the way you drawed that gun on that fella. You must be a natural-born gunslinger.
You make it sound so noble.
Noble? Well, ma'am, it may not be so all-fired noble, but it sure is useful.
Why don't you come inside, Smiley? There's some fresh-made coffee.
Thank you, son, but I'd sooner have a little gal ask me in.
I'll pour coffee. Sit down, Mr. Smiley.
Thank you, ma'am.
You didn't ride over here just to pay respects.
Nope.
Then why?
How much you know about this fella Elwood?
Enough.
He's framed you, boy. Everybody in that bar is ready to swear you shot his brother in cold blood.
What?
Aims to get you legal, and he aims to get you hanged.
But they all saw what happened.
I reckon they'll forget what they see. They just remember what this hombre Elwood tell them to remember, and what they recall is seeing you draw and shoot before that fella had a chance.
I see.
You better hide out for a spell, son.
Hide out?
Going right quick. Look out that window. There's a posse coming out to get you.
A posse? Bruce, look.
I'm not hiding.
Are you insane? You've got to hide.
You better hide, son. Because them fellas is aiming to take you back into town and just hang you. There ain't going to be no trial.
Bruce, in heaven's name, what have you done to us?
The story of the Old West is a story that's been told a million times in 100 languages. It's the story of 6 guns, a length of rope, and fast horses. The hanging of an accused man was more often seen as a medium of entertainment than as a means of punishment. Seldom did the onlookers care whether the victim was guilty or innocent. Chances were he was not guilty. More often than not, he probably was. But the process of law had nothing to do with the verdict. And in this situation, Elwood wanted to see Bruce Lanning hanged.
Stay on your horses, man. Don't get off. I'll be right back.
Where is he, Mrs. Lanning?
I don't know.
You see this badge I'm wearing? Deputy Sheriff badge. I got authority, Mrs. Lanning.
You have authority? I didn't think it existed out here. I've seen no sign of it.
Where's your husband?
I don't know.
We'll find him.
Just a minute.
Yeah?
You ever hear of Judge McGee?
What about him?
Circuit judge, ain't he?
Yeah, that's right.
I was up in Crombie City about a week ago.
So?
The judge was there, and he was aiming to come this way.
We can't wait for any circuit judge.
He can when you know he's coming.
We don't know.
I just told you.
Nobody heard you.
You heard me, Mr. Elwood.
I didn't hear a word, nor did any of my boys.
Before you throw any necktie parties, you better wait for Judge McGee.
By the time he gets here, Lanning will be hanged.
Oh, you cold-blooded beast.
Just tell us where your husband is, ma'am.
On the other side of the Rio Grande by this time, I hope.
On the other side? That's all I want to know. Come on, boys. Let's go.
You're all gone. That was a right smart thing to say. Son, that was real close.
I'd have shot it out with him.
You reckon you would have, but they'd have drilled you.
Bruce.
I know. It's a mess, Jane. I'm sorry.
I'm frightened. I'm very frightened, Bruce.
I don't blame you.
I want to get away from here. I want us both to get away. You can't stand against this sort of thing.
I'm going to stand against it.
You can't. The odds are against you. My father was an honest man. He tried to stand against the corruption in New York. It destroyed him. It's the same out here, Bruce. This is another kind of corruption. And corruption always wins, Bruce. Because it's organized. And because the law is too weak. Or because the men who are responsible for the law are crooks. My father found that out.
Is she right?
I hate to say it, son, but she comes awful close to the truth.
All right. Elwood has his gang. I'll have mine. Where can I find men?
Across the Rio Grande. Mostly Mexicans. But they'll hire out.
I'll need about 20 of them.
Is that your answer, Bruce?
Do you have a better one, Jane?
Yes. Let's go away.
Run away, you mean?
Yes, if you like.
I don't like. I never ran away from a fight as long as I've lived.
What about this circuit judge?
Yeah, it was just a story I was telling.
What?
I thought it might stall them fellas. They ain't no circuit in 100 miles from here. For as I know, Judge McGee's retired.
Well, what about the army? There must be some kind of law out here.
Well, there ain't any, little gal. Old law's here, but there ain't nobody to back it up. Soldiers won't interfere with anybody. They're here to fight Apaches.
You see, Jane?
Yes, I see. We're just a disgrace to the civilized world, aren't we? There's no protection for decent people, is there?
Yeah.
You working for me?
Yeah.
Can we cross the Rio Grande without Elwood and his gang seeing us?
Yeah.
Let's be on our way, then. I want 20 hired gunmen.
Bruce.
Yeah, Jane.
I'm beaten. I'm going back east. To Boston, I suppose. I'll be gone when you get back here.
A law that forbade a decent citizen to defend himself was simply a method of protecting the criminals. Could such a situation exist? It'd be a sad day if it did. Well, Jane was through. The rough West was not for her. But still, the not-so-rough East had killed her own father. and Bruce, quickly adjusting himself to this environment, was going to hire gunmen. So ends this chapter of Rio Grande, another radio novel.
Where did the term corporal originate? Well, way back when, a military company was normally formed tactically into a squadra, square, at the head of which was a reliable veteran known as the capo de squadra, head of the square. The title came to us as corporal from the French caporal, another interesting term used by the military.
And now to our radio novel adapted from the motion picture, Rio Grande. As the Civil War ended, Bruce Lanning, former soldier, arrived in the Southwest Territory with his wife, Jane. Bruce purchased land and cattle from one of the Elwood brothers, only to find that he had failed to acquire the water rights. In a quarrel, Bruce killed Jerry Elwood. It was a fair fight. But George Elwood had himself sworn in as deputy sheriff and went out to find Bruce and hang him. Meantime, Bruce and his new friend, Smiley, were riding a little-known trail towards the Mexican border. Bruce planned to hire gunmen to help him fight the Elwood gang. Back at Bruce's small ranch house, Jane stared at the man who had just entered, George Elwood.
You seem to be packing.
What do you want?
I'm still looking for your husband.
I told you where to look.
But it wasn't the truth.
Well, he's not here.
Where's that other fellow, Smiley?
He's not here either.
You're out here all alone? Just in case your husband's still around, my boys are searching your place.
Do what you like.
You planning to go somewhere?
I am.
Joining your husband somewhere?
Where I'm going is not your affair. Let go!
A woman like you. So beautiful. You shouldn't be left alone.
Take your filthy hands off me.
She shouldn't have left you alone.
Oh, you foul beast.
You know, I enjoy that. Come here.
Get away from me.
Put that gun down.
Get away from me.
You won't fire that gun. Come here.
More coffee, son?
Oh, no, thanks.
Well, come dawn, we'll be across Rio Grande.
I suppose so.
What's eating you, Bruce?
You know, Smiley, I was just thinking.
About her?
In a way, Jane and me, we're lost. We don't belong to anybody, not even to each other. It's a lonely feeling, Smiley.
Yep.
Do you belong to anybody?
No. Ma and Pa's killed off by Sioux Indians when I was a kid. Never had a chance to settle.
You come from the east?
Way east, I reckon. From the old country. I was born on a ship, son. We hung around a place called Philadelphia till I was old enough to walk, and then we pushed on with a wagon train.
You don't belong to anybody either, then?
Just orphan, I reckon. Feel right sorry for myself. Maybe I ought to blow my brains out.
You must have seen a whole lot of this country.
Ever hear tell of a fellow called Fremont?
Sure.
I was with him, son. Me and Kit Carson and a fellow named Broken Hand. Went all the way up to the Dalles, up in Oregon Territory, did, son.
What's your name, Smiley?
You just used the only handle I have, Bruce.
You've got a home now, if you want one.
Son, you ain't even sure that place is your home. You ain't through with that Elwood gang yet.
I will be. Or they'll be through with me, one of the two. Let's push on.
Listen.
I don't hear a thing.
Listen.
You hear things?
That's a horse coming and coming right smart.
I don't hear anything.
You will in a minute, son.
He must have ears like a fox.
You hear now?
Yeah.
That horse ain't been shot, and the fellow who's riding it knows this here trail better than I do, and the only hombres who know it better than me are the Injuns.
It's only one horse.
I'd be mighty surprised if it ain't Injun.
Look. One of my hope pies. Pedro!
Yeah, I see that fellow in your place.
Oh. What's wrong, Pedro?
White squaw shoot Elwood.
What?
No kill Elwood. No squaw, she go jail.
Jane?
Easy, son.
Jane shot Elwood?
They took her to jail. If she's in jail, ain't no harm gonna come to her. We figure something out.
Pedro, what happened? In heaven's name, what happened?
Elwood go into house. White squaw shoot him.
Smiley, you go on across the Rio Grande. I'm going back.
That'd be plumb foolish, son. You just get yourself arrested.
I'd knock off a few of Elwood's bunch before they got me.
That wouldn't help a little lady.
And what do I do?
I ain't sure yet. You and your hope, I wait here.
Where are you going?
See what's happening back in town. Maybe I can figure a way out of this trouble.
Why did my wife shoot Elwood, Pedro?
Maybe he man, she woman.
Come on, I'm not waiting for Smiley to come back. We're crossing the Rio Grande and hiring a bunch of gunmen.
No good you do that. Me got friends, much people, much better.
Indians?
Hopi people know Apache?
I don't know, Pedro, I don't know.
We go see my people.
They had been saying for a number of years the Hopi Indians were a peaceful nation, that farming was their one purpose in life. The Hopi Indian did not want himself identified with the Apache. Many of the Hopis had absorbed some Spanish strain. Many had Spanish names. But when the war drums were sounded, the Indian was an Indian. Platitudes did not exist on the American scene in the days of the Old West. Life was raw. Man, the individual, reached his zenith. The West pampered no one. And a fight was a fight to the death. The Indian, the outlaw, the gambler, the cattleman, each was prepared to fight for his own survival. Survival sometimes resulted in strange allies. But seldom did the white man find himself allied to Indians against his own kind. But Bruce Lanning was a desperate man, and he had found his own kind pitted against him. He had found his own kind ruthless and merciless. The Indians could not be worse.
I come to visit you, ma'am.
What do you want?
You tried to kill me.
No one will believe that.
In this town, people believe what I tell them.
Oh, you disgust me. Now leave me alone.
I thought you might want to be sociable.
I couldn't be. Not with your kind.
I might withdraw the charge against
don't
you.
Don't withdraw it.
A night in this cell may change your mind. You don't even say you're sorry. Look at my arm. Your bullet went right through it.
It should have killed you. Now get out.
You'll change your attitude.
That's the situation, gents, and I'm waiting to see what Mr. Elwood's got to say about it.
I'm here. Who wants to see me?
Just the one I'm waiting for.
All right. Smiley, where's Lanning?
Simmer down, Mr. Elwood.
Where's Lanning?
She got your arm in a sling.
Never mind that.
Well, I reckon Bruce Lanning won't take advantage of that.
Where is he?
I'm coming to that.
Make it fast.
Bruce here to tell you put his wife in jail for shooting you.
That's right.
I never heard tell of a decent woman being put in jail out in this country, Mr. Elwood.
The law applies to women as well as men.
Fact is, Mr. Elwood, you tried to make love to that little gal and she shot you. Now, ain't that a fact?
Why, you...
It's a fact, ain't it? Anyhow, your fight with Bruce Lanning ain't a matter of the law. You know that. Everybody knows it. And everybody here is in the mood for some smart entertainment.
You just tell me where Lanning is, and we'll get all the entertainment we can use.
Folks here ain't sure they like your idea of putting a man's wife in jail because she didn't shine up to you. Mr. Elwood, I reckon you and Bruce Lanning ought to settle this man to man.
Shut up! Smiley, you can see I can't use a gun. My arm's in a sling.
Well, now, we talked about that. We reckon that Bruce Lanning will have one arm tied to his side.
No, I won't do it.
It was putting that little lady in jail that did it, Mr. Elwood. Even your boys didn't like that.
I'm deputy sheriff in this here town. I'm not going to have a dual stake for me every time I arrest a criminal and every time I try to hunt one down.
Mr. Elwood, this here town sizes you up for a yellow-bellied coyote. It thinks you're scared to face Bruce Lanning on even terms. Look around you, Mr. Elwood. Look at all them faces staring at you. Can you read what's in them?
I can't fight. My arm won't let me.
You didn't hear what I just explained.
I won't do it.
Bruce will have one arm tied to his side, and he'll draw when he turns around. You can hold your gun in your hand.
No, I won't do it. I won't let the dignity of the law be humiliated like this. Shut up! Shut up! You hear me? Shut up! I'm still George Elwood. And don't any of you forget it. I'm going back to my place. And anybody here who's on my payroll had better come with me. Well, come on!
You ain't going home just yet, Mr. Elwood.
What are you aiming to do now?
You ain't going home. Leastways, not till you've let that little gal out of jail.
Will you? All right, I'll let her out. I'll let her out right away.
Offhand, I'd say one or two people were getting their signals crossed. Smiley might have plans of his own for settling this matter. But a few miles away, 500 painted Indians are riding for the settlement. And so ends this chapter of Rio Grande, another radio novel.
You there, boy. Sit up now. Look spry. Step lively. This is your great-grandpa, and then some. My name? Well, I've been called Johnny Reb, and I've been called Billy Yank. I'm a soldier. Civil War. Now, what you want to know about soldiering? Sleep? Well, we'd sleep where we could. In a field, under a tree, sometimes in a stable, anywhere. Now, in the beginning, each man had a shelter half so's he could make him up a tent with a buddy. But the shelter halves got lost or thrown out, and so most of the time, two men would get together, each one with a blanket and an oilcloth, and we'd work us out a handy arrangement. One oilcloth and a blanket would go on the ground, and the two of us would lay on them, cover ourselves with the other blanket, then pull the other oilcloth over the top to keep the rain off. So, that worked fine, only it didn't keep the bugs and the mosquitoes off. And if it rained hard, the water ran in under the blankets and the oilcloth anyhow. But, except for some grumbling, we put up with it, and what's more, we always lived to put up with it and grumble some more about it the next day. Yes, and the day after that. But that's soldiering. It's no dang picnic. Now, you boy, it's no picnic for you either. But you sure have got lots of folks planning things for you, figuring how they can fix it so as you can sleep warm and dry, even if the whole goddamn sky is caving in. Of course, there are always exceptions, and you've probably experienced a few of them. Believe you me, son, it takes more than just men and guns and generals to make you an army. It takes folks thinking about you and planning for you all the darn time, like the quartermaster corps you got. Danged if it don't.
And now back to our radio novel, adapted from the motion picture, Rio Grande. With the tide of public opinion against him, George Elwood released Jane from her cell. Outside the jail, Smiley met Jane and walked with her to where the horses waited.
I'll get you home, then hightail it back to Bruce and let him know you're free.
He was right after all, wasn't he?
Depends about what.
If you want to live in this country, you've got to fight.
You sure have.
You've killed or you've got to kill.
Oh, now, I don't know about that.
I do. I just learned my lesson.
Well, you can't judge the country just by sizing up a fellow like Elwood.
He runs this part of the country.
He wasn't running just now when he let you go free.
But he had the power to keep me in jail or set me free.
Well, he's deputy sheriff.
Who appointed him?
The sheriff.
I haven't even seen the sheriff.
Well, fact is, Janie, Elwood runs the sheriff. I have to admit that.
Of course he does.
It ain't the way it should be, of course.
But it's the way things are.
Yeah, I reckon so. But you'll find some pretty decent folks around just the same.
It's a pity they don't exhibit their decency more often, and in public.
Folks don't like to stick their necks out if it means getting into trouble. But it used to be worse than this in the old days.
Smiley, how long can people stay decent out here? I thought Bruce and I were fairly decent. We've changed. At least I have.
Yeah, Jenny, I ain't got any answer for that one. Yeah, here's the horses.
Smiley, I want my husband to know that I think he's right.
I'll sure tell him that. Jenny, do you want Bruce to shoot it out with Elwood?
Yes.
You sure is changed, Jenny.
Yes, I've changed. The West doesn't waste time in changing people.
I never seen such a change in a gal.
Look, Elwood will not face Bruce alone. He won't face Bruce in a fair fight.
He's got to.
No, he'll find a way out of that.
Jenny, there's still something you got to learn about this here West.
The public opinion will force Elwood to meet Bruce in a duel. I don't think so, Smiley.
We'll see.
Elwood has got to kill Bruce, or Bruce has got to kill Elwood. One of the two, Smiley. And Elwood will try to shoot Bruce down from ambush.
Let's get back to ranch, Janie.
I wanted Bruce to run away to back down. I'm glad he refused now. I'm glad he's fighting back.
Looks like you sure going to help him fight, Janie.
Yes, I sure am.
You ain't scared to pull the trigger?
Maybe I've learned to be the kind of a wife Bruce wants. It's all wrong, Smiley. Life shouldn't be this way. I know it's wrong, but I didn't make it this way, and Bruce and I have to survive.
Let me help you on that horse.
I don't need help.
You sure don't. Well, let's get going.
All right, boys. We'll tail them. I reckon if we stick close enough, Smiley will lead us to Bruce Lanning. Come on.
Janie, you'll be all right.
You sure we were followed?
Hell wouldn't it, boys.
They think you'll lead them to Bruce.
They won't follow me too far, Janie. I'll lose them.
Smiley, don't let Bruce come back unless you've hired men.
All right, Janie. Now, you get some sleep.
Take care of yourself.
I've took peculiar care of myself ever since I can remember, Janie.
People, hope eyes.
I can see that.
I thought we might run into you, Smiley.
You sure have, son.
What's the matter? You seem upset.
Son, I don't hold with a fella turning renegade.
Renegade?
That's what it's called, son, when you run with Injuns.
Well, you call it anything you like, Smiley. These people are my friends. For my money, they're a sight better than Elwood and anybody else in that settlement.
You aiming to attack the settlement?
I'm aiming to get Janie out of that jam.
She's out.
What?
We're in no trouble at all, son. I didn't have to use not even one Injun to help me.
Where is she?
Home.
These Indians are primed for trouble.
Maybe not. They're Hope Eyes. If they was Apaches, it might be worse. Anyhow, Elwood and some of his boys are about 2 miles back there. They've been trailing me, but I just give them the slip.
Elwood? Well, it couldn't be better.
Bruce, how'd you like to fight it out with Elwood on even terms?
I'd like it just fine.
So would your wife.
Jane?
She's with you all the way, boy. She reckons it's either you or Elwood. I mean it, Bruce. Doggone it, that little gal sure has taken to the Rio Grande.
Let's make sure Elwood doesn't get one of these Indians before we cut him off.
I talk, Hope I. I'll have a palaver with these Indians. Maybe they'll settle for a gun duel twixt you and Elwood. They ain't too warlike.
Try. Try hard, because I promised them fighting.
There were certain codes of behavior on the frontier. Civilized man did not quite let go of his ethics even in the roughest country, not unless he was driven to it. Bruce Lanning had been driven to seeking an alliance with an alien people. The Indians were ready, even the most peaceful ones in those days, for the big Indian wars still had to be fought. The West was still untamed. George Elwood had dreamed of building an empire in the Rio Grande country. He and his brother had used every unscrupulous method to gain control of land, cattle, and power. Every now and then they had encountered men who had stood against them. These men had been destroyed one by one, until Bruce Lanning had showed up. Now George Elwood felt his back against a wall, and the sooner Bruce was killed, the safer he could breathe. And as he and his boys sought to pick up the trail of Smiley, he had no idea how close Bruce was until, with a sense of alarm and horror, he realized he and his boys were surrounded by a silent ring of Hopi Indians.
It weren't so smart for you to trail me, Mr. Elwood.
Ah, Indians with you, huh? You'll be hanged for this.
Maybe.
Wait till the army here's spotted.
I never heard about you, Mr. Elwood.
Smiley, you don't strike me as being a renegade.
You talk like you think this here's a war. There ain't no war, Mr. Elwood. This here's more like a county fair, maybe like a necktie party in town. These Indians is just like other folks, eh? Enjoy a good fight, or good hanging, or maybe a good gunfight. Tricks two fellers like you and Bruce Lanning here.
Lanning? What?
Hello, Elwood.
Your idea, huh? Stirring up Indians against us.
These Indians won't make a move, Elwood, unless your boys interfere.
Interfere?
We're going to settle our little dispute, Elwood, you and I, with witnesses.
No.
Got a bad arm. I'd start with bare hands. And we'd go for our guns later. All right, Smiley. You can bandage one of my arms to my side, so I'll meet this skunk on even terms.
Got a piece of rope already, son. Hold still.
I won't fight.
You'll fight, Elwood, because your boys say so and because these Injuns want to see some action. If they don't see any, they might go tear into the settlement. Your boys don't want that.
I won't be a party to this.
You made yourself a party to it, Elwood. It's time folks around here found out who's running the Rio Grande country. Them or you?
Lanning. Listen to me.
I'm listening.
I'm sorry. I admit I was out gunning for you. I'm sorry.
This fight isn't over you and me, Elwood. It's over what you did to my wife. I'm sorry she shot you because I'd like to beat the daylights out of you before I kill you. Or before you kill me.
Smiley.
Yeah?
There must be some other way.
Can you think of one?
I'll leave the Rio Grande.
I don't reckon we could trust you.
I swear, I'll never come back.
Your word ain't good enough.
I'll turn my property over to you and Lanning.
You sure are a yellow belly, ain't you, Mr. Elwood?
All right, Elwood, I'm ready for you.
Well,
you know the arrangements. Back to back. We walk 20 paces, then turn. I'll draw when I turn. You can be holding your gun.
All right, Lanning. All right.
I'm all set when you are.
Back to back, then. That's it.
20 paces, Lanning. Don't forget.
I can count. See that you do.
Neither of you has to count.
Come on.
Now, these are the rules, gents. When I say walk, you start walking, and you listen to me count the steps you take. That understood?
It's clear enough.
You heard what I said, Elwood?
Yeah, I heard.
Nobody turns until I get to 20.
Come on, will you? Come on.
Get set.
We're ready.
Walk. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I knowed that skunk wouldn't wait for the count of 20. I was waiting for him to turn on you. Yeah, he sure chose the right number to turn on.
Thanks, Smiley.
Let's see if he's dead.
He'll never be more dead.
Nope. Don't reckon he ever will be.
Oh.
Jay!
Hello, darling.
How'd you get here?
I knew Elwood was following Smiley, so I followed Elwood. I've been up there on that hill, watching.
I wasn't sure I'd ever see you again, Jane.
I wasn't sure either, Bruce. But I had this rifle aimed at Elwood. If he'd have hurt you, I'd have pulled the trigger.
Son, you sure do have a powerful lot of protection.
I sure do. What's all this, Jane?
I was packing my things.
Packing?
I was going away.
Oh.
Elwood came in while I was packing.
I see. Well, you need any help?
No, darling. I can unpack without any help.
It's been rough on you, Jane.
The life out here?
I expected too much of you.
What's the matter, Bruce?
Matter?
You look like a little boy who's so miserable he'd like to cry.
Be mighty empty here without you, Jane.
Mighty empty. Oh, darling, you never used that word before.
I don't reckon I did.
Oh, Bruce, I'm glad I didn't go.
You wouldn't have gone too far.
Wouldn't I?
You'd have been on a stagecoach. I'd have caught up with it and dragged you out of it.
Oh, darling, you talk as if you love me and as if we were home. Oh, Bruce, is this really our home? Have we settled here? Are we happy, Bruce? Do we make better sense now?
Listen.
Oh, only someone's shooting. Never mind.
Darn it. Ain't no time for smooching. Get your guns, Bruce. There's a bunch of cattle thieves being chased. Come on, boy.
I'll be back, Dave.
I'll make some coffee.
And so ends our story, adapted from the motion picture Rio Grande. Maybe it's not too surprising how quickly we grow accustomed to new environments. The old settlers had to get used to theirs very quickly. Civilization had to take shortcuts in those days. And maybe it still does, which is why we still have wars. But there's hope, I guess, because out west, they put away their guns a long time ago. It's possible the rest of the world will catch up with the West someday. And so we hope you have enjoyed our radio novel's presentation of a full hour of the best in dramatic entertainment. Stories of romance, action, great adventure, great living, and classics of ageless storytelling that will live vividly as long as the printed and spoken word passes through the lives of man. So be with us again, won't you, when we present another complete story, another radio novel.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.